This is Morning Edition from NHPR. Most of the attention in today's election results will focus on the presidential race, then maybe New Hampshire's Senate and governor races. But there are, of course, plenty of down-ballot races that will shape the state's politics and public policy over the next 2 years. Here with me now to provide an overview of some of those lower races is NHPR's politics and policy editor, Dan Barrick. Good morning.
Morning, Rick.
So, Dan, which down-ballot races are worth watching tonight and tomorrow?
Well, the state Senate is definitely a place with the potential for some real turnover and some real surprises on election night. There's a number of open seats there. It's a 24-member body. 8 of them are open this year. Lots of money being spent. And frankly, there's a lot at stake. The state Senate has traditionally, and this is certainly the case in the last few years, the place where much of the real deal making happens in state level policy making. Republicans now hold the majority there, 14 seats to 10 Democrats. But of those 8 retiring senators, 6 are Republicans. So that means Republicans have got more turf to defend just to maintain their current partisan advantage.
Okay, well, what do the individual races look like? Can we say which districts are going to be, you know, swing races?
Well, it's really hard to say with any precision in the absence of polling. You know, unlike the presidential governor's races, there's no accurate polling at the state Senate level. But what we do know is that years of gerrymandering, which is that classic drawing of the boundary lines to advantage one party or the other, which means that there's actually very few competitive districts left out of those 24. The majority of them are either safe Republican or safe Democrat, which means that each party focuses on just a very small handful of districts, so-called swing or battleground districts. And the interesting thing this year is that of those 8 retiring seats, a number of those are what I think you could safely call those battleground districts. You might include in that list District 24 on the Seacoast, District 6 in the Rochester area is being vacated, District 16 in the Manchester area, Senator David Booten is retiring. District 8 over in the Lake Sunapee area. This is really where a lot of the attention, I think where a lot of the eyeballs are going to be the day after Election Day.
Okay, so we'll pay attention to those districts. But in terms of policy, what's at stake here?
A lot of that will depend, of course, on who the next governor is. Democrats Colin Van Ostern and Republican Chris Sununu have both laid out very different agendas. And we know that the governor plays a key role in what gets, you know, what actually gets passed into law out of the legislature. But policy areas where the Senate will play a big role. Obviously, the big one is the state budget. In the last few years, a lot of the final, the actual budget that makes it into law tends to look very similar to the version that the Senate passes. There's going to be a big debate about education funding. This is a perennial issue, but it was just a few months ago the subject of a court ruling that basically said the state's practice of kind of lowballing education funding for expanding districts was unconstitutional. Things like higher education support, you know, how much the state gives to the public university and community college system, even things like the death penalty repeal. Just this year alone, the effort to repeal the death penalty in New Hampshire failed on a tie vote. So the outcome of these state Senate races could really determine a whole range of policy choices.
So the state Senate results could really be a big deal. Are there any other down-ballot races that you're watching?
Well, there's the New Hampshire House, but with 400 open seats, it's really hard to get a grasp on the dynamics there year to year. But it is worth noting over the past decade, control of the House in New Hampshire has swung quite dramatically from one party to the other. And that tends to happen in these wave elections that we've had. 2006, a big Democratic year, also 2008. 2010, the Tea Party year, Republicans roared back and took control of the House by a big number. So the margin of victory in the presidential election here in New Hampshire could really be the most important factor in determining which party controls the House of Representatives here. But there's also the Executive Council, which traditionally has been one of these, you know, really overlooked bodies, and the races there don't get a lot of attention. And that body's become increasingly a place where big policy debates are hashed out. Right now, it's a 5-member body. Republicans hold a 3-2 majority. Perhaps Democrats' best chance is in District 5, which covers sort of the Nashua West region. The incumbent's David Wheeler, a Republican. The Democrat is Dan Weeks. He's been running a very aggressive race. And the candidates represent very different ideologies. Wheeler is a longtime office holder. He's been in the state Senate and the Executive Council on and off for almost 20 years. He's known as a very strong conservative. Weeks, this is his first run for elective office. He's in his 30s. He's got a background as sort of a good government campaign finance reform activist. The outcome here will very likely determine the makeup of the council and really set the tone for what the next governor is going to have to deal with.
Okay, so there's plenty to watch down ballot.
There sure is.
All right, that is Dan Barrick. He is NHPR's politics and policy editor. Dan, thank you.
Thank you, Rick.